Tonight, we are going to study about an idea that was mentioned a couple of weeks ago in our study. And ever since then, the Lord's kind of had it on my mind. And that is that we seek Him. The Lord talks about that His way is easy. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. And someone last time had mentioned, you know, how do you square that with putting a lot of effort into seeking after Him and getting to know Him? And I think what happens is oftentimes we confuse doing things for Him with seeking Him. Those are two very different things. We think that if we are working really hard on His behalf, doing things that we think He would have us to do, that we're seeking Him. And we're really not. There's a big difference. Seeking Him is not about what we're doing for Him. It's about getting to know Him. It's about wanting to experience Him. It's about wanting to know what He's doing and what He's about and to know Him intimately and closely. That's what it means to seek Him. And when we seek Him like that and we go after Him and we get to know Him and we get to see Him and we get to where we can recognize what He's doing in the world around us, then we will begin to do things that are pleasing to Him because He will be able to communicate those things to us. If we haven't sought Him, if we haven't gotten to know Him, if we can't hear what He's saying to us, if we can't see what He's doing in the world around us, then we're going to go off and do our own thing, which very often may be contrary to what He wants us to do. We need to get ourselves in a place to where we see His face, where we hear His voice, where we see His hand working in the world around us, and we take part in what He's doing. We see how He wants us to interact with the people and the things that are going on around us. So let's start in Psalm 53. Psalm 53, verse 2, says, God looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. There's this idea of God looking around the earth for people who are seeking after Him, who will do the things that He wants them to do. God is looking for that kind of person. And what He's looking for is a person who understands. A person who understands that what this whole life is about knowing Him and participating in what He is doing. Doing our part in what He is doing. He is looking for people who understand that that's what it's all about. And that as a result, because we understand that's what it's about, that our life is all about seeking Him. It's not about seeking wealth. It's not about seeking popularity. It's not about seeking fame. It's not about seeking, you know, the good opinion of other people because they think, oh, Anthony's so good because he does this, that, and the other thing. It's when we understand rightly, then we know that there's only one thing that's really worthwhile in this life, and that's knowing God and serving Him. So we seek Him, and we seek His face, and we seek His will, and we seek what He desires for us to do. And that comes from a person who understands what life is all about. Turn to Psalm chapter 10. Psalm chapter 10, verse 4. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. So the person who has true understanding recognizes that the most important thing to do in this life is to seek after God. But the opposite of that is the person who has a proud countenance. What is a proud countenance? What is a countenance? Your look. Yeah, your look. The way that you look, just your attitude. So the wicked person is the person with a proud countenance, has a proud look. That this is the kind of person that you look at and go, well, that person can get things done. You know, that person is the kind of person that our society really kind of lifts up and exalts. The person who can, you know, pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. The person who's independent and does their own thing and is capable of doing whatever. You know, that is what we tend to think of as a great person in our society. But really, that is a proud countenance where I think I can do it myself. And as a result, because I think I can take care of business, what? I don't seek after God. I don't even think about God. Why would I need to think about Him? I got this under control. That attitude is glorified in our society, and the one of being humble, recognizing that we don't have it under control, that only God has everything under control. When we're like that, then we will seek Him rather than being like this person who is such that God is in none of his thoughts. And the sad thing about it is that even as believers, we can get caught up in living our life that way, with a proud countenance, with a proud attitude, thinking that we can do and take care of ourselves. We need to make sure that we don't have that kind of pride in us, because it's wicked. And that's the first thing. God says, there are seven things that I hate. And the very first thing on the list is a proud look. That's the same thing as saying a proud countenance, a proud attitude. Because when we're proud, what we do is we don't seek God. We don't think about God. We just think about our own things. So we humble ourselves and we seek Him if we want to have a life that's pleasing to Him. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Here in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is talking about that God will provide for us. You know, and the proud person in our society is like, you know, I am self-sufficient. I'm independent. I provide for myself. Without recognizing that everything that they have comes from God. Every good thing on earth comes from Him. So Jesus is teaching, you know, don't worry about these things. Don't worry about the things that all the rest of the people in the world around you worry about. God will take care of those things. Instead of seeking after the things that the people in the world seek after, in verse 33 of Matthew 6, Jesus says, instead, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. God will provide for all these things that we need if we will do this. If we will seek God above all other things. When it says seek first, that means the top priority on our list of things that we're going after. Whatever is number one priority needs to be, first of all, the kingdom of God. And this is an idea that sometimes seems kind of, I don't know, what is the kingdom of God exactly? And I think Joe has given the best definition of that of anybody that I've ever heard. The kingdom of God is any place where God is in authority. Any place where people are submitting to the authority of God. Any place and any time. So any time that I am submitting to the authority of God, I have put myself in His kingdom. And the same thing for you. That's where God's kingdom is. The place where His authority is being submitted to and obeyed. So the first thing that we need to seek is to put ourselves under His authority, to humble ourselves before Him and be obedient to what He wants us to do. We're to seek His kingdom and His righteousness. I think it's really important here the way that it says that. It says His righteousness. What the word righteous literally means things that are right, doing right things. So if you're righteous, or if you have righteousness, then you do right things. And there's an issue with that Joe has also brought up several times, is that one person's opinion of what's right and wrong is very different from another's. It's his righteousness. It's what he determines to be right and wrong are the things that we need to be seeking after. We need to be seeking after doing what he says is right. Because when we look around us in the world and even in the church today, oftentimes what other people say is right is the opposite of what God says. God says that thing is wrong. Oftentimes when you look around in the world, people say this thing is wrong, and God, when you read his word, says it's right. And there are places in the scriptures where he says, "Woe unto you who call right wrong and call wrong right." And that's going on all around us in the world today. So many people today, you say things that God says this is wrong, they will come down on you hard and say that is right. So we need to be seeking him. We need to be seeking his kingdom, being under his authority. And we need to be seeking to do the things that he says are right, even when everybody around us says are wrong. And to not do the things that he says are wrong, even when everybody around us are saying those things are right. We need to seek him, his kingdom, and his righteousness above all other things. And oftentimes people will talk about, you know, setting priorities in life. Say, if you want to accomplish something in life, you need to set priorities and you need to make decisions based on those priorities. And there's truth in that. The problem is they oftentimes would have us create lists of priorities that have to do just with things of this life. Just with things that are going to perish. Things that won't be forever. We need to do that. We do need to set priorities. And there really needs to be only one thing on our list. First and foremost, that is seeking God, his kingdom, and his righteousness. And when we get that priority right, then it says here that all these other things that other people would put on their list will be added unto you. Because what will happen is when we're seeking him and doing the things that are right in his eyes, then we will be a good husband, a good wife, a good employee, a good student, a good citizen, a good neighbor. We'll be all of those things. He's first on the list. Seek him. And this idea of seeking is going after something, you know, looking for something diligently. It is putting effort and time into finding this thing. It's easy for us to fall into the trap of we want all these things. You know, we want this kind of life that God would have us to have. But we're not necessarily willing to pursue it actively. If you're seeking something, you are purposefully going after that thing. It doesn't just happen. We have to purposefully be seeking him. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, that God is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." If we're going to seek him right, that seeking is based on faith. It's based on a belief that he really exists. You know, it's so easy, and we've talked about this with other things, to have like just this mental belief in things. Just this idea of, if you ask me, I'll give you the right answer. As opposed to, I believe this thing such that it affects the way that I live every day. Those are two very different things. You can say, do you believe in God? And they say, yes, I believe in God. But then you look at their lives, or I look at my own life, And I have to ask myself, do I act like I believe in God? Do I live a life of faith? If I'm going to please God, I've got to live by faith. I've got to live by belief in that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Much of the world denies that He even exists. A large part of the world, even within the church, acknowledges that He exists, but say that He just kind of put everything in place and set all the rules for the world, and then we're supposed to live by those rules, but He really doesn't interact with you on a daily basis. He doesn't speak to you. He doesn't guide you or lead you or really work in your life in any significant way. He's done all that. He gave you the Bible, and now it's your job to do those things. I don't believe that that's true. I believe that not only is He, that He exists, but that He is a God who rewards, not just in the future, but right now, a diligent seeking after Him. What does the word diligent mean?
Steadfast.
Strong.
Strong.
With effort.
With a lot of effort. What does steadfast mean? Keep on keeping on. Yeah. I think that's an important part of diligence. So diligence does, you know, there is a strength that we need to put into it, and an effort that we need to put into seeking Him. But the thing that's important is that we continue to seek Him. That's what diligence has to do with, you know, well, I'll seek, you know, I think this idea of seeking God is kind of interesting. I'll try it for a couple of days and then I don't think about it anymore. That is not diligence. Diligence is, this becomes a way of life for me. Every day I wake up and I think about seeking Him. Throughout the day, I think about seeking Him. And I want to know what He wants me to do. I want to communicate with Him. I want to experience Him. I want Him to communicate with me. See, that's what diligence is all about. It is a continual doing of something. Not just here and there, a spot here, a spot there, do it for a little while and quit. It means begin doing this thing and continue to do that. And if we will be a person who day in and day out diligently seeks after Him, He will reward us for that. He will work in us and through us, and He will allow us to experience things in life that are the kinds of things that He created us to experience. And we miss out on so much of that just because we're so spotty and inconsistent and unfaithful in seeking after Him. Our belief in Him, that He is, needs to be the kind of belief that recognizes Him for who He is. I mean, if we really think about who God is and what He is like, and we really believe that and really have faith in that, it's the most ridiculous thing in the world not to seek Him continuously. It just doesn't make any sense. The only reason why we don't seek Him diligently is because we really don't see Him for who He is. We really don't believe that He is the God that the Bible says He is. That He really is an awesome and mighty and powerful God that created all these things with a word. That's the kind of God that once you recognize Him for being like that, that nothing else makes sense in the whole world, in our whole life, but to seek Him diligently, continually. Knowing that that life of seeking Him is a life worth living, a rewarding life. Next, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Now, it's really interesting how, you know, God puts lessons together in my life. You know, it's not just that He gives me lessons like this. He teaches me the lesson in my life at the same time. This week has been a very eventful week for me. I mean, it's been like crazy. And God is teaching me this lesson on seeking Him at the same time. And He's making it such that my life is such that I have to really purposefully try to do that. Because I'm just, you know, there's so many things going on. And that's the way life tends to be, right? It tends to be so easy to get caught up in all the other things going on. It's so easy to seek after success and paying the bills and doing the things that need to be done that we can very easily lose sight of Him in the busyness of life. So it's really neat how He teaches me the lesson in the book And so often he teaches me the lesson every day. It's amazing. So Deuteronomy chapter 4. Verse 29. But from there, you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all of your heart and with all of your soul. We're to seek the Lord our God, and if we want to find him, we have to seek him with all of our heart and all of our soul. For God to reveal himself to us, we've got to make a very serious commitment to him. You know, we look around at how shallow our commitments often are to him, and then we're like, well, why doesn't God reveal himself anymore? Why doesn't God show himself to us? Why don't we see him in the world around us? Well, we need to make sure that if we want him to reveal himself to us, we have got to be willing to give it our whole heart and our whole soul. We've got to seek him not only diligently and continually, but very, very deeply. Very seriously. I mean, this needs to be serious business for us. Not just something that we think is interesting, something that we just do from time to time. It needs to be a very, very deep thing where we desire to know him above all of the things. And if we desire him with all of our heart and all of our soul, then we will find him. It's not that we might find him, we will find him. That's what he expects, that kind of seeking. Turn to 1 Chronicles 28. It's just a little ways to the left of Psalms. 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 9. This is David talking to his son Solomon. He says, "As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you will seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever." When we're seeking God, we need to seek to know him. That's the advice that David gives to Solomon. He says, know the God of your father. We've got to want to know him. If we're going to be able to respond to him the way that he wants us to, we've got to know him. You know, it's just like people in your life that you have a good relationship with. You come to a place where you know them, right? You come to a place where you understand in a situation what they're going to expect of you. Whether it's your dad, whether it's your spouse, whether it's your boss. You come to a place where once you get to know them, then you know what their expectations are. And that's the way God expects us to be with him. To get to know him in such a way that we understand him and that we serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. You know, that loyal heart goes back to diligence. You know, that we continually seek him and that we have this willing mind. And that's one thing about God, that if we're not willing to act on what he reveals to us, he won't reveal it to us. I mean, that's just the way he works. If he knows that I won't believe it, he's not going to show it to me. And he knows that if I won't do it, he's not going to show it to me. That's the way he works. And the thing about it is that he can work that way because it says next here, it says, "For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts." God understands each one of us. And if we're trying to fake him off, I got news for you, it ain't going to work. If you want to know him and understand him and experience him, you got to be sincere because he knows the difference. You got to be willing to do and act on the things that he reveals. And if we are, then he will be faithful to reveal himself to us. We will know him. That's what it says. Next, if you seek him, he will be found by you. If we are legitimately seeking him, we will find him. But we need to look at ourselves. We need to look at our own hearts. Are we serious about this, or are we just playing a game? If we're just playing a game, we might as well go do something else, because he ain't going to reveal himself. We need to become very serious about this. This needs to become something that's all of our heart and all of our soul committed to knowing him. And when we do that, he will reveal himself. We will find him. And we're not going to fake him off. So don't play games with him. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. It says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Now, this is something that we've seen over and over in here, about that if we'll seek him, he will be found. And we're just looking at a few verses that talk about seeking him. It's over and over again. It says, if you will seek me, I will be found. If you'll seek, you'll find. So I've mentioned that several times already, and I wanted to include this verse here because there's so many things about God that require us to do a certain thing in order for him to do the other thing. God operates that way. You'll see that all through scriptures. If you'll do this, I'll do that. If we're going to find him, we've got to seek him. We have to go after him. We can't just sit around and think, boy, I sure wish God would reveal himself to me. I sure wish he would teach me things. I sure wish he would lead me. I sure wish he would do this or the other thing. I wish he would do for me the kinds of things that he did for people in the scriptures. I think if you look at most of those people's lives, I think you'll see that they had a very serious, diligent seeking after him. And as a result, he responded. They sought him and they found him. Turn to Psalm 27. Last verse that we'll look at. Psalm 27, this is such a beautiful verse. As you think about what it means to seek him, as you think about what it means to find him, right? So many people want to find what God has to offer, but they don't want to seek after it. And I've been that way most of my life. I just kind of went through the motions. And I didn't really find him until I began to seek after him. That's the attitude that he wants in us, is a seeking attitude. And in Psalm 27, verse 8, you see that so beautifully. This is a psalm of David. And he is talking about the Lord. He says, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. That's the attitude that we need to have. That's the attitude that David had towards God. God said, seek my face. He said it over and over. I mean, we're just looking at just a very few. There's a list this long of places where he said, seek me. He told Israel that over and over again. He's telling us that too. He says, seek me. And David said, God, when you said, seek my face, my heart responded to that with, your face, Lord, I will seek. That's the way we need to be. We need to come to a place where our heart responds to him saying, if you'll seek me, you'll find. Our heart needs to come to a place to where it will respond to that with, yes, Lord, that's what I want. Your face I will seek with all of my heart. And when we do that, we'll find him. When we do that, he'll speak to us. When we do that, he'll reveal himself to us. When we do that, he'll reward us. When we do that, he'll guide us. When we do that, he will use us. It's like, Lord, why don't you use me? He's like, well, I'm not using you because I see what's in your heart. I see what's in your mind. I see your thoughts, just like he talked about a minute ago. And your heart is not seeking after me. That's why I'm not using you. But if we will seek him with all of our heart and with all of our soul, he will be found. And when we find him, he will reveal himself to us and he will begin to use us. Because at that point, he knows that we are a person that he can use, that he can accomplish the things that he wants to accomplish in this world, because our heart is all about seeking him. The first thing on our list is his kingdom. The first thing on our list is finding out what he thinks is right and wrong and doing those things. And when we do that, when our heart responds in that way, then all these other things that's on everybody else's list of priorities, he takes it upon himself to take care of those for us. And he will begin to use us to further his kingdom. He will use us to help poor people. He will use us to help people who have emotional needs. He'll use us to help people with spiritual needs. He'll use us to do the things that he wants to do on the earth. Then we will be a body that he can use. We'll be his hands and his feet and his eyes and his ears and his mouth to minister to people in the way that he wants us to. But it all begins with a seeking, a diligent seeking, day in and day out, a serious seeking, with all of our heart and all of our soul. A seeking that is the first priority in our life, ahead of all of the things. And when we do that, we'll find him. When we do that, he'll reveal himself to us. When we do that, he'll use us for his glory.